Blog Talk Radio.
Can't have me.
Khan, all praise. You know, stay encouraged, Ashallah. It's only temporary. All right. The curses are almost. This project is called Someday No More. Someday, we ain't gonna be up under these conditions. We ain't gonna be under these curses. You just gotta hold on. Sing to him, brother.
GMOs corrupting my children. No more of your higher living skyscraper buildings. No more of your tyranny ways. No more inventing AA. No more gainsayers whenever we speak for gain's sake. No more smiles that's fake. No more handshakes. No more stand your ground and shoot that nigga in his nigga face. No more of these black face painted by the sons of Satan. The devil that the Bible speaks
no
of.
No misinterpretation.
No more coonery, no more fookery. No more basketball dribbling, no more Bojangles chicken. No more God bless America. My middle finger up to the chump trunk while I stand here in hysterica. No more Hellenistic Gentile living. No more voting in this wicked ass system. No love is what they get to. So one day, the prophecies of the children, Yasha'Allah, will be fulfilled. And we will be going home. Everything that's been documented in the entire book that's called the Torah was written about the so-called Negroes and our captivity, the Hispanics and the North American Indians, the 12 tribes of Israel, our repentance and our return. No more these Asian niggas claiming they Jake when they work for Satan. No more hydrogenated peanut oil to break your concentration. Didn't know that, did you? Yeah, that snake shit real wicked. Give you the worst of the food for you to feed the children. Matter of fact, while we on the subject, might as well get at that. Baby mama's gonna be mad, but it's gonna be no food stamps. It's a blessing, though. You gotta understand these things. The Most High gonna provide for us. Two rivers, two
that
trees.
That 501c3, boy, that's the mark of the beast. How you gonna teach the people you ain't got permission to speak?
No more COINTELPRO, bro, up under Islam. Want me to come to your class for Sabbath? Man, get gone. Cause it's universal. This is rehearsal. And ain't no one camp or one school got it all. Don't take it personal. Interpretation, what the scriptures say. 2 Peter 1:20, the literature tell you Buster's name. So we don't have to come together up under one specific school or banner. Remember, Yasha'Allah, your nationality is the camp. The two times that camp was used most prolifically in the Bible was when the Most High was around our whole nationality. And this last time is when he's going to redeem us and take us out of this place of captivity. And he's going to fight for the camp of Israel. See, after this, we're going to be all winning. All in it. When it comes to the law, we gon' be all
now
in
every
it.
Every man, woman, and child, go gather your nothings. After this summit, we are one step closer to sun's coming. And it'll be no more division. No more camp banging. No more out of order. Sit your black butt back. Go read the Torah.
No more harvesting his people's organs. This heart pumped through the blood. The first people of the earth same color as
you
the mud.
You crack the lights with your teeth so your people's the bottom feeders. And we see you. No more white lies. No more white heights. No more white Easter.
No more whitewashing my black mind with a white
Jesus.
No more Saturnalia, no more pagan worship. No more babies of this nation being blatantly murdered. No more abortions, no more of these banks and their extortions. No more whorehouses and plain sight disguised as churches. No more of my people hurting, cause it'll be no more curses.
No more curses. No more curses.
And this is a reason to celebrate, Yasha'Allah. One day these conditions will be over. There'll be no more confusion. No harm will come to your people ever again. Cause we will be delivered. Salvation is of the Jews. Hamashiach Yahushua. He said, I am not sent but into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we will be delivered from this captivity. When?
Take it from me.
Shalom, 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 and Baba Kwa Tawab. Good morning. Yasha Allah, 12 Tribes Worldwide, and welcome to the show, man. I'm your host, your brother, Taza Pa, and welcome to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk, man. Hope everybody is healthy. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Happy Hanukkah, Yasha Allah. Let's turn up, y'all, for the Hanukkah season. We are definitely in it. Coming off a great weekend, man, that we had at the school celebrating the first day of Hanukkah, bringing it in with a bang, man. Hope to kick it, man, the rest of the week, man, for Hanukkah, man. Keep this thing going. Want to send shouts out to our brother schools, VA, H-Town, Rochester, San Antonio, Guatemala, and 12 Tribes Worldwide. And I want to apologize to y'all. I had to get braces, man. I don't know if you knew. For those that know me, y'all know. Anyway, man, I'm apologizing because I'm still trying to get my speech patterns together with this crap in my mouth. So forgive me if I fumble over some words or some words just don't come out as clear. But without further ado, man, let's get it started. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune in to Taza Pa Tuesdays, Taza Pa Tuesdays, Taza Pa Tuesdays every Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in. Also want to send shouts out to my ABQ brothers out there, man, the youngsters out there doing big things. But let's get into it. Psalms 118, verse 24, it says, "This is the day in which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Good or sad, happy or bad, man. Roll with the punches, y'all. We have to. All of it's from the Most High. And all of it's designed to bring you out on the other side better than what you were before. Hope everybody's spirit's in a good place. But without further ado, man, let me jump into it. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the news. I know I usually spend about an hour. So if it's your first time tuning in, I spend about an hour doing the news and news, current events, you know, things happening in the street. And then I jump into the class at hand, which is entitled today, Dedication. But let me go ahead and jump into this. So this is from CNN, y'all. And the headlines read, "Stocks and oil prices fall as Moderna CEO says Karen vaccines will struggle with, let me pronounce this right, Omicron." I hope I'm probably butchering it. This is supposedly the new variant of the virus that's going around, man. You know, this virus at this point, man, it's become like damn Star Wars or Harry Potter, The Matrix, what else? Terminator, or any other damn movie that has sequences of it, man. That's what this virus then turned into. You know, I had an interesting conversation with a brother. I ain't going to put his name out there because of what he does for a living. But me and the brother was rapping, and he was like, "All right, they got all of this planned out." Brother told me this like 2 months ago. They got all of this planned out. Right? They going to keep coming out with different variants. You watch. He told me this months ago, man. And, you know, the type of brother that he is, I didn't discount what he was saying, man. But when I seen this mess, I automatically reflected on the conversation that we had. Because in that very same conversation that we had, the brother was telling me how the vaccines were genetic codes, which would tell your body what to accept and what not to accept. And this is the reason they were having all of these so-called breakthrough cases of the vaccine entering into people's bodies who were vaccinated. Because the genetic code wasn't geared for the mutation. But this brother told me, like I said, this months ago, man, and when I read this, I immediately thought of him, man. I'm going to give him a holler, too, when I get done with class.
But and this is what else is interesting about this article, y'all, is even this headline. Stocks and oil prices fall as Moderna CEO. Now, the Moderna CEO, what the hell? They all up in stock prices and oil prices. Why are they concerned with that? You might ask yourself that, because that's the first question I ask myself. You're supposed to be a pharmaceutical company. Why the hell are you concerned with finances? Which lets you know, y'all, if you haven't pulled the blinders off yet, that this whole virus vaccine situation is purely financial. Financial, of course, they have, I ain't going to say purely, but they have other motives as well, but financially being the most motivating motive for them to make money, because those vaccines ain't free. I know the average person, Joe Blow, can go to CVS, Walgreens, wherever else they doing these vaccines at, and get them at no charge. But you know the government had to pay. The world had to pay. The WHO had to pay for these vaccines before they could even be administered to the general public. So don't be misled, man. It's always about currency money, man. Esau, that's how you get down, y'all. Anyway, let me read on this article, and this is from CNN, y'all. It says, Hong Kong CNN business, global stocks and oil prices are falling again after a brief respike Monday from the heavy sell-off triggered by the emergence of the Omicron coronavirus variant. Stocks in Asia, Pacific, and Europe slid. Dow futures were down 1%, and oil prices fell about 2% as more countries reported cases of the variant and imposed new travel restrictions. The move was also dampened by a warning from Moderna CEO Stephen Bancel that current vaccines will struggle with Omicron. Right. So what they going to do now? What are they going to offer? They already run around offering people these damn booster shots, talking about they got to get a booster every 6 months. So now what y'all going to do? Is y'all going to come out with another vaccine now? Or y'all going to tell people they got to get 50 million damn boosters, which may not be effective for the this variant of the virus? Because, matter of fact, did I read it in this headline? It might be. Yeah, let me see if I can read that. It says, there is no world, I think, where the effectiveness in the same level we had with the Delta variant, Bancel said in an interview with the Financial Times published on Tuesday, I think is going to be a material drop. I just don't know how much because we need to wait for the data. But all the scientists I've talked to are like, this is not going to be good. No crap. South Korea, COSPI, lead losses in the region, falling 2.4%, while Japan, Nikkei, 225, dropped 1.6%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index, HSI, fell 1.6%. The Shanghai Composite, SHCOMP, was flat. China's economy got some good news Tuesday as its big factory showed signs of a recovery. European index opened about 1% lower. This is what I'm talking about. I'm glad they put this article out. You know all this crap be propaganda, but you can find the truth in every damn cover-up and every lie, y'all. They're talking about this variant and how they scared, whoop-de-woo. But notice they ain't mentioned nothing about the deaths they're projecting from this. All they're talking about is the economy because, once again, that's all the hell they care about. Now, that brings me to this article right here. And this one is from I think it's CNBC. Markets Insider. That's where it's from. Markets Insider. And it reads, trip off of this, y'all. It says the U.S. is facing a dollar collapse by the end of 2021 and an over 50% chance of a double-dip recession, economist Stephen Roach says. The U.S. dollar could collapse by the end of 2021 and the economy can expect a more than 50% chance of a double-dip recession, the economist Stephen Roach told CNBC on Wednesday. The U.S. has seen economic output rise briefly and then fall in 8 of the past 11 business cycle recoveries, Roach said. Grim second quarter data cannot be dismissed, he said, pointing out that the current account deficit in the United States, which is the broadest measure of our international imbalance. Excuse me for a second, y'all. I really apologize. Hold on, I got to get the door. I'll be right back, y'all. All right, y'all. I am back. Apologize for the brief interruption. Where was I at? Man, I forgot where I was at, y'all. I apologize. All right, let me just start over. Let me see. So it says the U.S. is facing a dollar collapse by the end of 2021 and an over 50% chance of a double dip, recession economist Stephen Roach says. And I don't know if y'all have been paying attention, man, but this is why cryptocurrency is becoming so popular. But for us believers, we know that the scripture says that ye shall be redeemed or saved without money, man. So don't put your stock in none of that nonsense. The only way we're getting out of here, man, is by Yahweh Shai, man, coming back to get us. Now, let me switch over, man, because I didn't expect, and I apologize, y'all. I got so many damn appointments going on. It's hard for me to keep track of them. The exterminator dude is here. He was, I thought they was coming last week, but it turned out they were coming this week. But it is what it is. I apologize for that. But let me move on. This one right here. So I don't know if y'all been keeping track of what's going on in the news. In case you haven't, I got your back. New York Post, Ghislaine Maxwell trial live updates. Latest coverage on the sex trafficking case. So, you know, this is the accomplice of Epstein, man. Jeffrey Epstein, as we know, he supposedly murked himself while he was in prison, but I think he was killed because, you know, he was loud-mouthing talking about the videos and recordings he had of people. And essentially blackmailed to the highest level. He's about to get it in, and they had a murk. That's my belief. I'm surprised that she's still alive, walking around and talking. I guess she didn't have no dirt, unless she kept her dirt on the low. But she's still proclaiming her innocence, which we know she's guilty as hell, man. But my point of even talking about this, man, is because a brother was telling me about some initiative they have called MAPS, Mature Adult something, man. But basically, it's another word for pedophilia, which they're ushering in. But it's been in our faces the whole time, y'all, the whole damn time. Somehow, I was at work, and my coworkers got on the topic about Christmas, and they were saying that because of COVID, they weren't going to have the Santa thing that they usually do every year at the malls and all that other crap. You know, and I was like, man, well, that's good, because the idea of people's daughters sitting on strangers' laps is not a good idea anyway. You know, my coworkers, they pause, and then they laugh. They was like, man, I never thought about that. I was like, I know y'all ass didn't, because y'all so caught up in this damn holiday. You know, as most people, man. And when I tell people I don't celebrate holidays, as most of us can attest to, they look at you funny. They look at you oddly and strange. Like, list the holiday season. But a lot of people don't even understand or care to understand what the hell they really celebrate, man. All they know is they get to eat, drink, and act a damn fool. And that's all they really care about, man. But they never really go into the history of things, man. You know, it's like I always say, man, people just find history boring and automatically go to sleep. But the idiots don't even understand that if you don't know your history and your nation's history, then you're bound to repeat the same damn piss-poor performances that your nation has done or your group has done, your group collectively as a race or whatever, then done, man. But that, and I trip off the stories of, like, the damn Pied Piper, man, him piping and leading all the kids out of town. Why do you only get the kids? Did y'all ever think about that? Why do you only get the damn kids? You know, and then the stigma, going back to the whole Santa thing, how you let your kids go sit on the perfect stranger's lap, but let your wife be talking to a stranger in a provocative manner, and you ready to go upside her head, or let your wife be sitting on another man's lap. You ready to act, go apes, excuse my French, you know what I'm talking about. But you let your kids do it? People have to seriously reexamine themselves, man, because something is psychologically wrong with you. You celebrating all in the name of a holiday, not even examining the traditions of the damn holiday, the rituals of it even. Anyway, moving on, man. Moving on to Negridom. And y'all done heard about it if you haven't. Suspects in rapper Young Dolph's death seen in photo released by Memphis police. Police in Memphis have released photo of the suspects believed to have been involved in the fatal shooting of rapper Young Dolph. The Memphis Police Department previously told Fox News Digital that officers responded to the scene of the shooting at Makeda's Butter Cookies on November 17th around 12:24 p.m. local time, where they discovered a male victim who was pronounced dead at the scene. On Thursday, authorities released photos to the public showing two men in gray sweatpants firing guns in the parking lot of the establishment. One suspect is seen in gray sweatpants and a blue hoodie holding a firearm with two hands. Another suspect in gray sweatpants and black hoodie and a black baseball cap joins him firing a handgun into the establishment. Both arrived and took off quickly from the scene in a white Mercedes. So the reason I want to get this, man, because this ain't nothing new. You know what I'm saying? We keep hearing about dead rapper niggas. And this dude ain't the first. He ain't going to be the last. I was hearing some stuff about people saying that there's some type of conspiracy going on with these labels and these rappers saying that they're taking out insurance policies out on them so they can get paid. I haven't done the research on that, but I don't put nothing past Esau. So anyway, let me get Ezekiel chapter 18. And man, this glare is killing me. Ezekiel 18 and verse 23. And let's get the Most High's take on this. Ezekiel 18 and 23, and it reads, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? This is the Most High said, and it's the question. He said, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Said the Lord Power, and not that he should return from his ways and live. So hell no, the Most High ain't got no pleasure in his people dying. Remember in Exodus 4:22, he said, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, man. Which means what? He has an affection for us, man. In the other scripture, he calls us his fervent lover, man. In other scriptures, he refers to the nation as his wife. Hell, in the New Testament, Christ refers to us as his bride. So the Most High definitely loves us. And he wants us to change from our ways. He wants us to return. He got no pleasure like the scripture I just read said. Hold on for a second, y'all. Like the scripture I just read said, he ain't got no pleasure in us dying, man. He wants us to live. But because we wicked as hell, we have to face the consequences of our wicked behavior, man, of our wicked doings. Now, let me jump down to verse 32. And it reads, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, said the Lord Power. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. So whatever you're doing, man, and this ain't just about the brother here. This is for all of us, man, that's out doing wickedness. That's not honoring the high holy days of the Most High, but running around celebrating these pagan holidays. And most of us know it's pagan. And you bring it to us, and what's the first thing we say? Oh, I know it's pagan, but it's for the kids. Or if you run around as a homosexual, man, the Most High don't want you to stay in that deranged state. He wants you to reform and come back to him. You running around selling dope, killing your own people, whether with the controls, uncontrolled substance or with handguns and knives, or you running around raping women, or you a damn pedophile. The Most High wants you to return to him, man. Because remember what Christ said, all men of sin shall be forgiven. I know that'd be a hard pill for us to swallow, but that's what the scriptures say. So you can come back from those wicked-ass things, and the Most High wants you to come back from them. That's his pleasure. He wants you to come back and worship him like we should, like he intended us to do, not to be out here wilding out, man. Let's get Ezekiel 33 and 11. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, and it reads, say unto them, as I live, said the Lord Power, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You see, the Most High is reiterating it. He ain't got no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He says, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? He wants us to stop doing our wickedness, man. He wants us to come back to him, y'all. Like I said, man, not just for these rap niggas that's getting knocked off, but just for the average Israelite, man, that's whatever wickedness you're doing, you in the street or whatever you're doing, man, turn from it. Come back to the Most High. So, y'all, like I said, I wasn't going to spend a lot of time on the news because, man, this is a festival. A festus occasion, man. We're celebrating Hanukkah, and I definitely want to recognize Hanukkah. So I'm going to now jump into my class. So I'm transferring over now, y'all. And like I said, if it's your first time tuning in, I usually would spend about an hour doing the news. But I got a lot of reading to do. We got a lot of reading to do today for Hanukkah. And the class is entitled Dedication. Now, I want to start with the definition of dedication. The Water Mashaba for hooking up the broadcast, and he put some definitions for dedication up in the post. Let me read y'all this one. It says, dedication, a ceremony making the official completion or opening of a public building, institution, monument, etc. So I'm going to read it again. Dedication, a ceremony marking, and I read it wrong, I'm sorry. A dedication, a ceremony marking the official completion or opening of a public building, institution, monument, etc. Now, I want us to hold on to that definition. It's very important as we get into this class. So remember that when you dedicate something, you hold a ceremony, and you're marking the official completion or the opening of the building or whatever it is that you're dedicating. So this has always been Israel's history, dating all the way back to this, and let's get it, Exodus chapter 25 and 1. So we're in Exodus chapter 25, verse 1, y'all, and it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every male that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." Now let me, that's verse 2, right? Yeah, let me jump down to verse 9. "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." So this was the Most High telling Moses to start the construction on, at that time, what was called the tabernacle, which was a tent set up for us to go and worship the Most High. So, and let me read the definition of sanctuary. It says, a sacred or holy place. Definition B, the biblical tabernacle or the temple in Jerusalem. So this was the Most High telling us to set this place up. And when we set it up, we had to bring offerings. And you can read, you can read this whole chapter, man, and you find out what everybody brought, what everybody dedicated to the opening of the tabernacle. Once again, the definition of dedication, a ceremony marking the official completion or opening of a public building, institution, monument, etc. So Exodus chapter 25 is just that. It's a dedication because we were opening up the first tabernacle of the Most High. We were going to worship him, and we were bringing these dedications or these offerings to him. Now let's go, let's jump over to Numbers chapter 7. And we're going to do a lot of reading, y'all. I hope you got your Bibles handy, your Apocryphas handy, and you might even want to have a dictionary, but I got most of the definitions, so we should be good. But let's go to Numbers chapter 7. And let's start at verse 1. "And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it." So this is when Moses had fully set the tabernacle up. And it says he anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof. So sanctify means to clean. So he cleaned it up, and he cleaned all the instruments that was in it. Hold on for a second, y'all. Pest control, dude. Okay. Is my voice still distant? If y'all can hear me loud and clear, man, let me know. If you can't, let me know also. Hit me up at area code 314-482-9110. Text me. Let me know if you can hear me good, clear, or if I sound distorted or faint or whatever. Please let me know. So far what we've gone over, y'all, is dedication and the tabernacle being dedicated from Exodus 25 and all the things we had to bring to dedicate it. And now we're jumping over to Numbers chapter 7. And Moses, this is the official opening of the tabernacle. I'm going to read it again, Numbers 7 and 1. And it reads, And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them. It's verse 1, maybe verse 2. That the princesses of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princesses of the tribes and were over them that were numbered, offered. So this, once again, talking about all the offerings that they were bringing to the tabernacle. They were dedicating these things to the Most High and the tabernacle, the grand opening. Now let's jump over to verse 84. See, and this is where Esau gets it from, y'all. When you see them doing like grand openings and stuff, and the things that they dedicate to it, so they're not original. So jumping over to verse 84, it says, this was the dedication of the altar. You see that? This was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed by the princes of Israel, 12 charges of silver, 12 silver bowls, 12 spoons of gold. And you keep read this whole chapter, and it tells you what everybody dedicated, what each tribe dedicated to the opening of the temple, y'all. Now let's jump over, the tabernacle. Now let's jump over to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Now we're going to start dealing with the temple. And the reason I'm going this route, y'all, is to show that dedicating the temple, the tabernacle, and other things was nothing new at Israel, y'all, because we're currently in what's known or called the Feast of Dedication. Some call it the Feast of Lights, Hanukkah, and we're going to get into it. The word Hanukkah does mean dedication, or Hanukkah means dedication. Or dedicated. But this was not a new thing in Israel, man. This was part of our heritage, a part of our culture. This is what we did. And I'm not trying to discount Hanukkah by no means, but what I am attempting to do is to prove that it is a real holiday, holy day of the Most High. It did exist. These historical accounts existed. And bring out numerous various sources to prove it. But I want to build up to it first. So let's get 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse 1. Then says Solomon, the Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built a house of habitation for thee and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord power of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, and this is Solomon speaking, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I have chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there, neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now, it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord, power of Israel. See, this is talking about the building of the temple. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thy heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thy heart. Because if you remember, if you don't, go back and read it. The most, because David did want to fully wanted to build a house of worship for the Most High. But the Most High forbade him because he told him he had too much blood on his hand. But he said he was going to have Solomon build it, which he did. And we're reading that right now. Verse 9. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build a house, But, here we go, thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. For the Lord therefore hath performed his word that he hath spoken. For I am rising up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord, power of Israel. And in it have I put the ark. Matter of fact, let me hold this. I think I'm going to come back to this. Yeah, I am going to come back to this. So this is talking about when Solomon built the temple of the Most High, the first temple. Now let's jump over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 now. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I'm going to start at verse 8. And it reads, also at the same time Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him. Now this is not talking about a high holy day. This is talking about the opening of the temple that he had just built. He kept a feast for 7 days. Verse 8 again. Also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering into Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. This goes right along with what I was saying. This was the dedication of the temple. But keeping in mind, they kept this feast going for how long? 7 days. And seven, once again, being the number of completion. So if this was nothing new, man, for us to keep the dedication or dedicate a temple or a victory to the Most High, man, and have a feast behind it. This is a part of our culture or our heritage. You lock the door for me. Now let's get Ezra's chapter 6. Or Ezra chapter 6. In the Bible, y'all. Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse 1. Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. So this is Darius, king of the Medians. And this is during the time of the Persian Mede Empire. So it says, then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. He was searching for, matter of fact, let me just keep reading, I'm going to tell you. And there was found at Akmetha in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was a record thus written. So he was looking for these records. And it's going to tell you, verse 3, in the first year of Cyrus, king of the same, Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 60 cubits. So this was the decree that Cyrus had made, because the Most High had came to Cyrus in a dream and told him that he was going to have power, rulership, and authority over the earth. But he also told him that he was going to build a temple for him, for his name. And this is when Darius started sending people back to work on the rebuilding of the temple during the Persian Mede Empire. or their yeah, their empire. Let me see. What was I at? Now let's jump down to verse 14. Matter of fact, let me jump. Because let me prove what I said about Cyrus. Let's go to Isaiah, y'all. Isaiah chapter 43, because you have a lot of brothers that they'll have you believe and they'll teach that the Most High didn't deal with the other nations, but the Most High did deal with the other nations, because even Daniel tells us the Most High rules in the realm of men, and he can give the kingdom to whoever he want to give it to. Now, this time, he was giving it to the Persian Mede Empire. Let's not forget, the reason the Most High kept changing the power structure and giving power, rulership, and authority on the earth to these different people, these different nations other than Israel, is because we had squandered it. We didn't appreciate it. So he gave it to other people. Now, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, but now, thus, said the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Wait a minute. That ain't the chapter I wanted. Nope. Sorry, y'all. Scratch that. It's, No, it's in Isaiah 45. So it's Isaiah 45, y'all. It says, thus said the Lord to his anointed. Listen to this. His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two lead gates, and the gate shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. The Most High is telling Cyrus, man, I'm going to make your conquest for power straight. You think it's difficult, but I'm going to make it so you prosper in all your battles and you take over the known living world, which he did. It says, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. So don't get it twisted. Just because the Most High dealt with the other nations didn't make the other nations his chosen. All right, I want us to remember that. Because he says here, and he's letting Cyrus know I'm the God of Israel. He says, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. This is the Most High speaking to Cyrus. That's why he said, man, you don't know me, but I'm the one that's protecting you. I'm the one that's making your way prosperous. And let me jump up. Here we go. So let's jump over a chapter. Isaiah 44 and 24 says, thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrated the tokens of the liars, and make it the diviners mad, that turn it wise men backward, and make it their knowledge foolish, that confirm the word of his servant, and perform it the counsel of his messengers, that said to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the city of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decay places thereof. So the Most High is talking about, he prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem, but he said he also prophesied the rebuilding of Jerusalem. He says, ye shall build, and I will raise up the decay places thereof, that said to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. That said of Cyrus, here we go, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. So this were the instructions that the Most High gave Cyrus the Persian to rebuild his temple that was destroyed. So now let's jump back over to, where was we at? In Ezra, right? Ezra in the Bible, verse 14. And the elders of the Jews build it, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Edo. So it's talking about those prophets. You know, you read the book of Haggai and then the book of Zechariah. So it's talking about those brothers, man. And you know what's interesting to me? Because, you know, the Bible was not in any, what's the word I'm looking for? Chronological order. But there are several prophets and several brothers that were in the very same captivity, man, that were prophesying at the same time. I'm going to read on. It says, and they built it and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Xerxes. Hope everybody is seeing this, man. Verse 15, and this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. So once again, here we have it. This is us, after the temple was destroyed, going back to rebuild it and dedicating it to the Most High with joy. See, this is nothing new, y'all. This is nothing new. We always would dedicate a triumphant victory, a place of worship to the Most High. Verse 17, it says, and offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel, 12 he-goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, man. See that? Once again, dedication. Now watch this. Let's jump back to Exodus chapter 25 now. So Exodus chapter 25, and where I want to pick up at? Verse 10. And this is dealing with the Ark of the Covenant. It says, and they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. This is what I love about the Most High, man. He is so detailed when he gives us instructions for construction, man, on how to put things together. Because this is talking about the ark and giving you a visual of what it should look like, man. And that's why you see the replicas of the ark this day and age. You might ask yourself, well, how were they able to replicate the ark? Well, the Most High gave instructions on how to put it together. And y'all have seen it on these movies like Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was a biblical movie. They were actually looking for the ark. But you've seen the replica that they had on there, and it comes pretty close to what's described here in this chapter. So reading on. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it, and put them in the four corners thereof, and two rings shall be in the one side of it, and two rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. So the staves is what's used, as I'll tell you, used to move the ark. So you pull these staves. So essentially you had a box with about, what, 8 holes in it, and you would take these staves, or 4 holes in it, I think it was, and take these staves and put them through the holes so you can move the ark. You could carry it. Verse 14, and thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The word borne means move. So this is how you moved it. Verse 15, the staves shall be in the rings of the ark. They, and the rings was the holes I was talking about, y'all. They shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. So this was in the, this what was in the ark, the testimony, the commandments. And let's see what else was in this ark. There's a point I'm getting to, y'all. Just bear with me. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And let's go to verse... Oh, yeah, this is right. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. It says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. So this is talking about the first covenant, and it says a worldly sanctuary, a sanctuary. You know, first we had the tabernacle. Then we actually had the temple that... Solomon built. Verse 2, it says, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. So when it talks about the candlestick, y'all, it's talking about the menorah. Verse 3, it says, and after the second veil, the tabernacle. Hold on, wait a minute. Let's get that. Let's read verse 2 again. It says, for there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the tap and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. So let's hold this and let's jump back. Let's get Exodus chapter 40. Exodus 40, and let's read verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein. So this is the setup of the tabernacle. This is what it's talking about in Hebrews. It says, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. And thou shalt bring in the tablet and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. So these things were going on to go on top of the ark. It says, and thou shalt bring in the candlestick and light the lamps thereof. So this candlestick, once again, being the menorah, y'all. So let's jump back to Hebrews chapter 9. And what verse were we in? Let's read verse 3. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant. So the holiest of holies had the golden censer, it had the ark of the covenant, that thing we just read about. In Exodus chapter 25:10-16, it says, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna. So what was so important about the Ark of the Covenant? We know it had the commandments in it, but it also had the manna that the Most High gave us. It says, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. You see this? This is basically a monument for us, y'all. For us not to forget, for us to remember our heritage of where we came from, man. Now, if you're not familiar with Aaron's rod budding, you can find that in Numbers chapter 17, I believe it is. But this one was so important about the Ark of the Covenant. It had our history in it, y'all. Now, trip off of this. Let's go to the timeline. I pulled this off of the internet, y'all. Now, listen to this. This is a timeline of major events in history of Jerusalem. A city that had been fought over 16 times in its history. So Jerusalem has been fought over 16 times, y'all, in the history of Jerusalem. It says, during its long history, Jerusalem has been destroyed twice, besieged 23 times, attacked times, and captured and recaptured 44 times, man. That's a lot of controversy over our land, over our city, the holy city Jerusalem, man. Now let's get this. Let's get 1 Kings chapter 14. Now, let's get verse 25. And it says, and it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. So I'm reading the many, or we're going to go over the major captivities. We're going to get all of them. There's been a lot. We're going to get the major captivities because this goes right in line when I was just reading about how many times Jerusalem was destroyed and captured and besieged and captured and recaptured. So we're reading about this king, Shishak. Let me get it again. Shishak, king of Egypt, it says he came up against Jerusalem. Let's read on verse 26. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures king's house. He even took away all, and he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made, man. These shields of gold, people loosely refer to it as the Star of David. But this is what it's talking about, all the decorations. And what you find interesting also, man, when they destroyed Jerusalem, and they came in and destroyed our temple, they would always take all the decorations, all the decor out of it, man. That's how beautiful our temples were. So that's out of the Bible. Now let's get it off of this website, man, because I'm matching all of this up with various sources. So the Egyptians take Jerusalem. Let me find it. Here we go. So the Egyptians sacked Jerusalem under King Shishak the first. And this happened around 925 B.C. before Christ, or 925 B.C.E. before the Christian era, y'all. And I'm reading this off this website. It says 925 B.C.E., Egyptian sack of Jerusalem. Pharaoh Shishak, that's what they got him listed as, the first of the third intermediate period invaders, Canaan, following the Battle of Bitter Lakes. Possibly the same as, here it is, Shishak, the first pharaoh mentioned in the Bible, who captured and pillaged Jerusalem. God, and that's who he's talking about. So let you know, this ain't fiction. These are real life events that actually happened. Now, let's move on. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 18 now. Second Kings chapter 18, and I want to read verse 9. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it. Even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hosea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. So here we read about Samaria being taken, and this is by the Assyrians. Verse 11, it says, and the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria and put them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the city of the Medes. So these were the Assyrians under Shalmaneser the third. And let's go back to the online article. Here we go. 853 BCE, the Battle of Korah, in which Jerusalem's forces were likely involved in an indecisive battle against Shalmaneser III of Neo-Assyria. So we just read it out of the Bible. Now we got it on the online source. So there's two sources saying the same exact thing, man. So let's get 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 11. And once again, y'all, we're going over the major captivities, the major ransackings of the temple that happened throughout time. So we're in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 11. It says, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. So here we have it, Nebuchadnezzar, and this is during the Babylonians' reign to power, and this happened around 587, 586 BC. And what's interesting about this, man, y'all can read all of this, and you can get the parables that Daniel gave in Daniel the second chapter and Daniel the seventh chapter, because this is what he was talking about. like I said, it was a parable, it was allegory. So he speaks of animals and things of that nature, but he was actually talking about people. So we taking kind of like a crash course, y'all. So once again, Nebuchadnezzar, 587, 586, and let me get it off of here, y'all. I'm going to read it off of here, what it says. Here we go. 587-586 BCE, second Babylonian siege. Nebuchadnezzar the second fought Pharaoh, a priest, attempt to invade Judah. Jerusalem mostly destroyed, including the first temple, and the cities. Prominent citizens exiled to Babylon. And then it cites C. Nebuchadnezzar Chronicles. So we just read it out of the Bible. Now we got it from this online source. Now, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And we're going to start at verse 22. It says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, we know we already read about Cyrus, right? That the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom. And put it also in writing, saying, thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth have the Lord God of heaven given me, and he had charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. So we already read how the Most High had commissioned Cyrus to build a temple, but this is talking about also Cyrus's reign to power. Now, this happened around 537 BC. I'm sorry, 539 BC. And we're going to get the same thing from the online source. So it says, here we go. 539 BCE, Jerusalem becomes part of the Eber-Nari-Satrapy of the Akkadian Empire after King Cyrus the Great conquers the Neo-Babylonian Empire by defeating Nabonidus and the Battle of Opis. Cyrus the Great, that's what he's also known as. So this happened around 539 BC. The Persian Mede Empire coming into power, like I said, this is talked about in Daniel, the seventh chapter. And this is the bear. And it talked about the bear laying over on this side, talking about how this empire was a cold empire led by the Persians because they were stronger than the Medes, but they had joined their power forces together and took control of the known living world. That's why you'll see it known as the Median Empire or the Persian Median Empire, which is one and the same. So now let's jump over to 1 Maccabees chapter 1. Now we're getting to it, y'all. 1 Maccabees chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse 1. It And it reads, and it happened after that Alexander, son of Philip, the Macedonian, who came out of the land of Chittim, had smitten Darius, king of the Persians and Medes, that he reigned in his stead, the first over Greece, man. So this was Alexander's conquest to power. We'll read on. And it says, and made many wars and won many strongholds and slew the kings of the earth and went through to the ends of the earth and took spoils of many nations, insomuch that the earth was cried before him, whereupon he was exalted and his heart was lifted up. So it's talking about how he came into power, how he had the big head. This was ordained. This was going to happen. I should have got that out of the Josephus. But it's talked about in the Josephus how when Alexander had came to Jerusalem and he had full intent to destroy it, he did. He said, but he had received a dream from the Lord that told him otherwise. It tells how we met. All the priests and all of Israel had met Alexander and his troops on him coming into the city. And Alexander ended up worshiping at the temple. And we had made a pact that we would pay tribute only if we could keep our laws and worship the Most High. And in return, Alexander said, cool, but y'all got to join up. Some of y'all got to join my forces on my conquest. And a lot of us did, y'all. This is why by the time you get to the New Testament, you read about the centurion that everybody say is so controversial. When it's not controversial, just go back and read the damn history. And the dude that was from the Italian band, I forget his name. But that ain't controversial. Just go back and read, man. A lot of us joined the Greek army as well as a lot of us joined the damn Roman army, man. No different than now. A lot of us is in what? The U.S. military. But that don't make us our origin or our nationality, that of the country that we were brought to for our captivity. Come on, man. People just lose all sense of logic, man, and simple comprehension, man. I guess we really do have a problem with reading comprehension. I guess that's why they used to give us so many of them damn tests when we was coming up, right? Reading comprehension. But anyway, going back, imagine what I just read out of the Apocrypha with this online source. Let me get it. So Alexander coming into power. Here it is. It says, under Alexander, the Ptolemies and Seleucids, meaning those dynasties, who were part of Alexander's army, his generals. And it reads 332 BCE, so 332 or 333 BCE, before the Christian era, Jerusalem collapulates to Alexander the Great during his six-year Macedonian conquest of the empire of Darius III of Persia. Alexander's armies took Jerusalem without complication while traveling to Egypt after the siege of Tyre, 332 BCE or 333 BCE. When it says without complication, this goes right hand in hand with what I was just talking about in the Josephus. I'm not going to read it, man, for lack of time, but let me give y'all where it said in the Josephus. So it's book 11, chapter 8, page 307. If you have the blue Josephus, that's where it said, and you can read all about it. And that's why it says he took it without complication, man, that we didn't fight. We made an agreement. But the history being lining up with the Bible, what we just read, now let's go back to First Maccabees chapter 1, and we're going to start at, what did I read to? Let's pick up in verse 4. It says, and he gathered a mighty strong host and ruled over countries and nations and kings who became tributaries unto him. After these, he fell sick and perceived that he should die. Wherefore he called his servants, such as were honorable and had been brought up with him from his youth, and parted his kingdom among them while he was yet alive. So it's talking about his friends that he came up with, his generals. It says, so Alexander reigned 12 years and then died. What verse was that? Verse 7. We're going to read to 10. And his servants bear rule, everyone in his place. Talking about Alexander's generals that basically had split his territories up, and each of them took a section. It says, and after his death, they all put crowns upon themselves. So did their sons after them many years. And evils were multiplied in the earth. And there came out of them a wicked root, Antiochus, surnamed Epiphanes, son of Antiochus the king, who had been an hostage at Rome. And he reigned in the 127th year of the kingdom of the Greeks. So let's match it up with the history. Online source. All right, here we go. 175 BCE, Antiochus the Sixth, Epiphanes, succeeds his father and becomes king of the Seleucid Empire. He accelerates Seleucid's efforts to eradicate the Jewish religion by forcing the Jewish high priest, Onias the Third, to step down in favor of his brother Jason, who was replaced by Menelaus 3 years later. He outlawed Sabbaths and circumcision, sacks Jerusalem, and erects an altar to Zeus in the second temple after plundering it. So this goes right hand in hand. And when it talks about Jason, let's jump up there and let's get that. So let's go to 2 Maccabees now and get some more information on this Jason that it's talking about. 2 Maccabees chapter 2. And let me find it real quick. Wait a minute. Let me make sure I got the right chapter, y'all. No, it's chapter 4. Here we go. So 2 Maccabees chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, this ungracious Jason sent special messengers from Jerusalem who were Antiochians to carry 300 drachms of silver to the sacrifice of Hercules, which even the bearers thereof thought fit not to bestow upon the sacrifice because it was not convenient, but to be reserved for other charges. So it's telling you about Jason, who was an Israelite, but he's bringing money and silver to the sacrifice of Hercules, which the Gentiles would say, man, that's too much. It's basically what it's saying. It's saying we could have spent this money on other things, is what it's talking about. But this is just the proof going hand in hand with the online article that this history is correct. The water, let me see. It was something else in here too about Jason. Let me find it real quick. Yeah, here it is right here. 2 Maccabees chapter 4, verse 7. But after the death of Seleucus, when Antiochus, called Epiphanes, took the kingdom, Jason, the brother of Onias, labored underhanded to be high priest, promising unto the king by intersection 303 talents of silver and of another revenue 80 talents. Besides this, he promised to assign 150 more if he might have license to set up a place of exercise. And we talked about this before, y'all, but that place of exercise is known as the gymnasium, or its original name, gymnos, which means naked. This is where the concept of the gym comes from. And that spirit is alive and well, because when you go to the gym this day and age, who you see in the gym, man, working out and wearing little to no clothing? Always the Edomites, so-called white people, man. And, you know, like the scripture said, the ways of the wicked seduce the righteous. You got a lot of our people in there, man, half-ass naked, working out in the custom of the heathen. You can read the same thing in chapter 1, 2, about us in the place of exercise, First Maccabees. But lining this history up with the Bible and the online source. Now, did I get to verse 10? So let's go back to First Maccabees chapter 1. I think I did get to verse 10. Yeah, I did. So now I want to match that up with the Bible, the New Testament anyway. So now let's jump, y'all. Let's go to St. John chapter 10. St. John chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 17. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Now, this is Yahushua, or who you call Christ, speaking. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. So this is a Jew speaking to other Jews. Yahusha speaking to the other Jews or the other Israelites. Verse 20. And many of them said, he had a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that had a devil. Can the devil open up the eyes of the blind? So they going back and forth arguing about Christ and his miracles. Now, listen to verse 22. It was at Jerusalem. So all of this bickering back and forth took place in Jerusalem. It says, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. So this lets you know clearly that Christ and the rest of the Israelites under the Roman captivity was still celebrating what was known as the feast of dedication, man, or Hanukkah. Now, I want to get this. This is out of the Strong's. What you doing right now? Yeah, you busy. So this is out of the Strong's, and this is page. If you got the Strong's Concord, the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, this is on page 254, y'all. 254, all the way at the top, and this is under dedication, and it has the scripture listed, St. John 10:22. And what I want to get is I want to get the Greekcation. So we're going to go to page 1620 in the same book, and we're going to get what dedication means. I'm going to have my real read that real quick. Hold on, y'all. I'm going to unplug. Put y'all on speaker. That's why I was low. My volume was low.
So read that for my staff. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Okay. In Cana, In Kenya, neuter plural of presumed compound from G1722 and G.
So, what's the Greek word for dedication?
In Kenya.
G?
From G1722 and G2537. Innovations. For example, specifically, renewal of religious services after the Antiochian interruption.
Now,
dedication.
You see that? Renewal. We were renewing the temple in Maccabees, and it says after the Antiochian what?
Interruption.
The Antiochian interruption. So let's find out what the hell Antiochians interrupted.
So let's go to Maccabees, first Maccabees. Matter of fact, before I get that, I got to get this. So we're going to go to the encyclopedia page. So this is the Columbia Encyclopedia. Let's get page 137. And this also talks about Antiochus briefly. Wait a minute. No, 349. That's the page.
So this is the encyclopedia, the Columbia Encyclopedia. This is Antiochus.
Read that for me.
Antiochus report. Antiochus Epiphanes. King of Syria, son of Antiochus III and successor of his brother, Seleucus IV. His nephew, later Demetrius I, was held as a hostage in Rome.
Like we just read in the Apocrypha. See how the history is matching up? Read.
Although still claiming the throne, Antiochus is best known for his attempt to Hellenize Judea and extirpate Judaism, a policy that instigated the rebellion of the Maccabees. Antiochus invaded Egypt, which was torn by strife between Ptolemy the VI and his brother, later Ptolemy VII. And would probably have conquered that region if the Romans had not intervened in his siege of Alexandria, 168. Antiochus was briefly succeeded by his son, Antiochus V, a boy king who was overthrown by Demetrius I.
Kind. So, once again, y'all, matching all the history up, man. So, Hanukkah is, in fact, a real holy day, man. We making nothing up. Like Christ said, we know what we worship. So let's get this. I'm going to stay in the encyclopedia. This is another volume. This is volume 10. We're going to go to page 2971. So this is page 2971, and it reads, it says, Hanukkah, Jewish holiday, the festival of lights, the feast of consecration, or the feast of the Maccabees, also transliterated Hanukkah. According to tradition, it was instituted by Judas Maccabeus and his brothers in 565 B.C., to celebrate the dedication of the new altar in the temple at Jerusalem. 3 years earlier, Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus VI, feigned the temple when he tried to force the Jews to offer sacrifices to heathen deities. The festival occurs in December, near the time of the winter solstice, as does Christmas, and lasts 8 days. Hanukkah later to be linked also with a miraculous crucifix oil that burned for 8 days, leading to the practice of lighting special Hanukkah candles, one the first evening, two the second, and so on. The 8-branch candlestick menorah used in the ceremony is a frequent symbol for the holiday. So once again, man, proving we know what we worshiping. And lining all the history up, man, all of it. So, like I said, we was going to get what Antiochus had interrupted. So let's jump over or go back to 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 20. I ain't going to read all of this, y'all, but go back, man. It's Hanukkah season anyway. You should know what we're worshiping, all right? Go back and read it for yourself. So verse 20, it says, and after that Antiochus had smitten Egypt, he returned again in the 143rd year. Hold on, yeah, I want to make sure. Yeah, okay. The 143rd year, and went up against Israel and Jerusalem with a great multitude, proudly into the sanctuary, and took away the golden altar and the candlestick of light and all the vessels thereof, and the tablet of the shewbread, and the point vessels, and the vials, and the censers of gold, and the vials, and the crowns, and the golden ornaments that were before the temple, all which he pulled off. He took also the silver and the gold, and the precious vessels. Also he took the hidden treasures which he found. These, man, I tell you, they still doing it. They call it archaeology. Verse 24. And when he had taken all away, he went into his own land, having made a great massacre and spoken very proudly. Therefore, there was great mourning in Israel in every place where they were, so that the princesses and the elders mourned. The virgins and the young men were made feeble, and the beauty of women was changed. Every bridegroom took up lamentation. And she that sat in the marriage chamber was in heaviness. The land also was moved for the inhabitants thereof, and all the house of Jacob was covered with confusion. So what did he interrupt, man? He interrupt us worshiping. He interrupt our harmony that we had with the Most High. He outlawed it to do things like worship the Most High. Now let me jump down to verse 54. It says, now the 15th day of the month, Casalu, in the 145th year, they set up the abomination of desolation upon the altar and built it idol altars throughout the cities of Judah on every side. Now, remember what we read in the encyclopedia? It talked about how Hanukkah fell in December. Y'all remember? Now, let me get this. It says the month Casalu, right? So it says, in Jewish calendar, the ninth month of the year, according to biblical reckoning, and the third month of the civil year, usually falling within November and December. See, it says the ninth month of the year, but it says it usually fell between November and December, y'all. This is why. This year, Hanukkah fell in November as opposed to November. It's still within the same month, y'all. But remember, it says the ninth month. I know backwards people that don't know no better running around thinking that we're currently in the 11th month, but we ain't, y'all. Nov means nine, just like deca means 10. What is it for six in Latin? Septi, I believe it is. Like a woman that has six kids, six babies, septuplex. So the months will tell us the actual truth as far as where we are in the year, if you pay attention to it. But if you're a simple person, they'll tell you anything, you believe it. So we ain't in no damn 11th month. This is actually the ninth month. But my point in bringing this out is that our Hanukkah feast day, and it even tells you in the scriptures, it says it was in the winter, right? Around this time. And this is also the time of the winter solstice, man. Yuletide and all the debauchery that's about to go on here in the next month or so. But verse 54, it says, now the 15th day of the month, cast loo in the 145th year, they set up the abomination of desolation upon the altar and built it idol altars throughout the cities of Judah on every side. So it talks about the abomination of desolation. Now, abomination is anything greatly disliked or abhorred. So whatever they put on the altar, in this case, it would have been that swine as well as their deities that they put up, we greatly hate it. So when it says the abomination, that's the abomination. Now, the definition for desolation, depopulation. Desolation is when you depopulate an area. They did depopulate our area because, as you find, a lot of us were killed. Then a lot of us ran off to hide in the mountains or in caves known as the catacombs. And you can read about that history also, man, about our people. So let's jump over. Let's get, let me see where I want to go. Let's get Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2. And I may have to continue this next two because I don't think I'm having enough time. So let's get Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 verse 2. In the fifth year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. So here's Daniel saying he understood what Jeremiah was prophesying. It says that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So the depopulation of Jerusalem, like I read earlier, what helped contribute to the depopulation of Jerusalem? I'm going to read this again. It says, timeline of Jerusalem. This is a timeline of major events in the history of Jerusalem, a city that had been fought over 16 times in its history. During its long history, Jerusalem has been destroyed twice, besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, and captured and recaptured 44 times, man. So the Most High had prophesied this. This is what Daniel's talking about in Daniel 9 and 2. I'm going to read it again. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem, man. And this also is talking about the what's known as the diaspora or the dispersed, man. This is how we were dispersed throughout the four corners, all these damn captivities that we was in. But let's find out why. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 26. And let's go all the way up. Ye shall make you no, this is verse 1. Ye shall make you no idol, nor a graven image, neither rear you up a standing image. Neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Now, this is what he says at the beginning. Now, watch this. Verse 15. And if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. This is how the Most High going in on us, man. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. It says the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 20. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highway shall be desolate. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, obviously we would reform. You see all the sieges and capture that we had in Jerusalem and how we've been scattered. Our head just kept getting harder, man, so the Most High had to keep coming harder. Verse 24, then will I also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet 7 times your sins, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy. So we ask, why, man? Why do we go through these atrocities? Not just of the atrocities under the Sir Lucius dynasty by way of Epiphanes, but all the captivities we've been in and all the ramsackings of our city, man. This is why. Verse 26, and when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall break your bread and bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. My goodness, man. Let me get to the point. Here we go. Verse 33, and I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. So when we talk about desolation, this is what he's talking about. It says, then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths. What does it say? Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths. We were so defiled, the Most High had to kick us out of our land, our own land, so the Sabbath could be enjoyed. It says, as long as it lieth desolate. How was the land going to enjoy the Sabbath? We couldn't be there. We was that defiled and polluted that we, our very presence, made the land polluted. It says, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. So listen to that, man. Listen to that. So we obviously was doing all the stuff he told us not to do in verse 1, which is worshiping idols, other deities, and breaking his covenant, breaking the commandments, man. These are the things that we were doing, and this is why these atrocities happened to us. We can't forget this, man. We ain't no damn victims. Hey, Israel be thinking, woe is me. Ooh, ooh, it ain't fair. Like the Most High told us in Ezekiel, he says, is not my ways equal? He said, your ways ain't equal, and our ways ain't, man. We do everything under the sun, but expect the Most High to just keep forgiving us, man. Like, we just got to get out of sin free card or something. So that was Daniel 9 and 2. That's what we spun this off of. But let's get Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, because Christ also talked about the same thing. So Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. Matthew 24 verse 13, and it reads, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So we're going to have to go through this. And if you go through it and you make it out, then you'll be saved. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Now, when it says all the world and all nations, it's talking about us that was part of the diaspora, y'all. This does not apply to all nations, all right? We were in all nations because it's where we got scattered to. Let's not get stupid. It says, and then shall the end come, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolations, spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever read it, let him understand. Let him understand what? That because of disobedience to the Most High, we had to keep getting put in these different captivities and having our city destroyed, the holy temple destroyed. Now, this is what he's talking about right here, was before the destruction of 70 AD. Listen to this, verse 16. It says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. When we're talking about fleeing into the mountains, he's talking about going into the interiors of Africa, which we eventually did, man. That's how we ended up there and built those civilizations and civilized those, a lot of those Hamites who, what's the word I'm looking for? They assimilated to our culture, picked up our culture. That's why you get, well, what they talking about, the Falashian Jews and some of those Africans who were really Africans, talking about they're of the seed of Abraham. And some of them are, y'all, because we've been scattered throughout the four corners, but a lot of them are not. We can't forget that the whole world has our book now and even back in the past. And next Tuesday, I'll go over that and show how the whole world had access to our book even before the Bible was printed in all these different languages and such. The world already had access to our book. I'm going to prove it. The next show that I do next Tuesday, finishing covering the dedication, y'all. So I want to thank myself for hooking up the broadcast. Thank everybody for tuning in to another episode of Blog Talks. And with that, I'm going to say shalom.